Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace. Go in the Holy Spirit's power. Sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to the Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave of the Seed Christian Fellowship. We welcome you to these programs. We invite you to church. We invite you to your church in your area. If you need to find a church in your area, you can email me at PastorDave at the Seed Christian Fellowship. We'll help you find a church. We'll help you find a fellowship. Our church meets at 9 a.m. at 9284 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, and we would love to have you join us. If you can't join us in person, you can always join us on our live stream. And you can go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com. Click on the live stream worship at 9 a.m. and join us. We've been working our way through Acts. Today, we're going to look at the last six verses of chapter 7 in the book of Acts. Our good friend, Dr. Luke, the author of Acts, gives us the last words and actions of Stephen, who was martyred for his witness to Christ. We are first introduced to Stephen in Acts chapter 6, 1 through 7. This is the first and the most prominent of the first seven deacons of the church. These deacons were given the responsibility for distributing food to the widows and for making sure that everyone in the church was being treated fairly. These first seven deacons were more than appointed to their work. They were ordained to it by the laying on of hands and by the disciples and the confirmation of the community. Stephen's reputation among the early church, well, it was outstanding. Stephen was a key figure in that early church, but apart from his historical role, he is significant because of his character and witness to Christ. He is described, quote, full of faith and the Holy Spirit. Boy, I'm just going to pause there. That's my prayer for each one of us. That's my prayer for me. That's my prayer for you listening today, that we would be full of faith and the Holy Spirit. That's what it says in verse 5 of chapter 6. A man full of grace and power who did great wonders and miraculous signs among the people. Wow, when you're full of faith and the Holy Spirit, you're full of grace and power, and you get to do great wonders and miraculous signs among the people. You know what the greatest sign is? Sharing God's love. Sharing God's love. That's what we can do. Stephen's ministry is brief, but it was essential to God's plan of evangelism. Stephen showed the marks of being a witness, and today I'd like for us to look at four marks of becoming a witness. The mark of a servant heart, the mark of speaking boldly, the mark of looking to heaven, and the mark of forgiving. These marks are evident in Stephen's life, recorded in Acts chapter 6 and 7. Before we turn to God's word and look at the marks of becoming a witness, let us pray. May God's word be alive, redemptive, transforming, shaping us and molding us to be the witnesses, the bold witnesses that we are called to be. If you have a Bible, join me. Maybe you're driving, maybe you're working, you can't open your Bible. We're going to be in Acts chapter 7, verses 55 through 60. And I'm going to pause there a minute. If you don't have a Bible, email me at Pastor Dave, and we will send you a Bible. We want to put God's Word in your hand. Acts chapter 7, 55 through 60. But filled with the Holy Spirit, he gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Look, he said, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. But they covered their ears and with a loud shout all rushed together against him. Then they dragged him out of the city and began to stone him. And the witnesses laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. While they were stoning Stephen, he prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he knelt down and cried out in a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. When he had said this, he died. I know what you're thinking. This is not a three-point sermon. I always say my homiletics teacher, my professor way back in seminary days said 3 points in a poem. Well, I'm breaking his rule. There's 4 points to this sermon today, or 4 points to this message. I've been teaching Psalm 119 for a long time, and I love Psalm 119. It's the longest of the Psalms. It's 176 verses. Thomas Manton, a Puritan preacher, took Psalm 119 and preached 176 sermons on that psalm. One verse for one sermon for almost each verse. We will briefly look at the four marks of becoming a witness. And the first mark of becoming a witness is having a servant heart. The first mark is having a servant heart. Stephen had a servant heart. He was a table waiter. That's what a deacon was in the early church. In the translation of diakonia, a deacon is table waiter or servant. John Trent co-authored a book called The Hidden Value of a Man. And in that book, he related an experience that he had as he worked at a Young Life camp one summer. Trent did his best to round up kids who really needed to hear the gospel when they went to summer camp. Mark was one of those kids. The main speaker that week was a man by the name of Bob Mitchell. Bob called most of the shots, including when meals would be served, so Bob was always talking with the cook. The cook loved her work, but it was exhausting. She always looked tired. Whenever she talked to Bob, Bob got up and gave her his chair and a moment's rest while they discussed meal plans. Nobody noticed Bob doing this except Mark. Mark hadn't come to camp to hear about Jesus, but when he saw Jesus' love lived out in the simple act of a servant's heart by the camp speaker, he began to listen to Bob's talks. Later that week, Mark asked Jesus to be his Savior. It wasn't because of the messages he heard, but because of the love he saw in Bob. If that's what it means to be a Christian, Mark said, I want to be one. The scriptures tell us that Stephen was full of grace and power. Stephen exhibited what grace? That grace by becoming a servant. Be a grace giver and not a grace dealer. I always say there's two types of people in this world, grace givers and grace dealers. My challenge to you today, really, my challenge to you every day is be a grace giver and not a grace dealer. It's so much easier to give grace than to steal grace. You may never know who really is watching you. As it has been said, you may be the only gospel somebody reads. The first mark of a witness is a servant heart. The second mark of a witness is to speak boldly. There's a story told of a pastor following a Sunday morning service. The pastor stood at the back of the church, shaking hands with the worshipers as they left, and as one man shook his hands, he looked intently at the pastor and he said, "Powerful sermons, Pastor. Thoughtful, well-researched. I can always see myself in them, and I want you to knock it off." Well, I've been told a lot of times, "Pastor, you're kind of stepping on my toes." I've even had people say, "Pastor, have you been reading my emails?" Listen, God wants to speak through not just your pastors. God wants to speak through you. God wants you to speak boldly. It seems that Stephen had the same problem when he spoke so boldly to the Sanhedrin. What I find interesting is that Stephen's response to his accusers is the longest sermon recorded in the book of Acts. Let me say that again. When Stephen responded to the Sanhedrin, it's the longest sermon recorded in Acts. And now there's a lot of sermons in the book of Acts, but Stephen's is the longest. Stephen was full of faith and the Holy Spirit. It was the power of the Holy Spirit that enabled Stephen to speak so boldly. And it will be the power of the Holy Spirit that will give me, you, us, the words to speak when we are called to speak. Jesus told his disciples not to worry about what they would say. He told them, just say whatever is given to you at that time, for it is not you speaking, but the Holy Spirit. I don't know all of your situations. I don't know what you're facing. I don't know your coworkers. I don't know your family members, but I do know Jesus, and I love him. And I trust him. And I'm asking you to trust him, because God's going to ask you to say something And what's going to happen is your heart's going to start pounding and your palms are going to get sweaty and maybe your throat's going to get dry. And you go, I don't think I should say that. But I'm telling you, I think you should. But speak it with love. And speak it, because don't worry about what you're going to say, for the Holy Spirit will give it to you. Mark 13:11. The second mark of becoming a witness is speaking boldly. I'm going to encourage you today to speak boldly the truth with love. In your family, in your work situation, with your neighbors. What would happen if we all spoke the truth? Oh, my goodness. What a great... I don't know. My mind's just going blank. What a great event that would be. So the second mark of becoming a witness is to speak boldly. The third mark is to look to heaven. They look to heaven. Look at this verse. It says, but being filled with the Holy Spirit, Stephen gazed into heaven, and he saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Now, this is the second time that Stephen is mentioned to be full of the Holy Spirit. But what is important is that what Stephen does. He does not say anything at first. He just fixes his eyes on heaven. I don't know, the other day I walked out of my house. It was early in the morning, and clouds were just coming up over the Cucamonga Peak where I live. And it was a beautiful sight. And I took a picture of it, and I blew it up because I wanted to be reminded to look up and to gaze into the glory of God. I don't know where you're at. I don't know if you're in an office building or driving your car. You can't stop working. But when you get a chance, go outside and look up. Gaze into heaven. The word translated gazed means in Greek to behold earnestly or to gaze intently. The Psalms say that God is the glory and the lifter up of our heads, Psalm 3:3. I love that. I have it posted near my computer. God is the glory and the lifter up of my head. Stephen never mentioned the resurrection in his long sermon, but Stephen saw the resurrected Jesus and called attention to him by saying, look, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. People have wondered why Jesus was standing in Stephen's vision of heaven, since in most of the other scripture references to Christ in heaven, he's seated at the right hand of God. One thought is that Christ was standing to welcome home his witness. Stephen is inviting his audience to look to heaven and see Jesus in person at that place of honor. May we all one day be able to look to heaven and see Christ standing there to welcome us home. The mark of a witness is to look to heaven. You've been listening to The Seed of Faith, brought to you by The Seed Christian Fellowship. Our prayer team would love to pray for you. If you have a prayer concern, you can go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship, click on the prayer icon, and our prayer team will pray for you. We have had some wonderful healings and miracles. God hears the prayers of his people. So if you have a prayer concern, go to our website, click on prayers. We will pray for you. Let us know what God is doing in your life. So we've been looking at Acts chapter 7, and we've been looking at the marks of a witness. The mark of a witness is a servant heart. The mark of a witness is to speak boldly. The mark of a witness is to look up to heaven. I encourage you just a minute ago to pause and ponder and take a moment in your busy schedule. Slow down. Look up. Look at the clouds. Look at the wind blowing through the trees. Take a moment and take in God. Look up to heaven, because God sees you. Look up and see him. Probably the hardest part of being a witness for Christ is his call to forgiveness. A witness has a forgiving spirit. I'm going to slow down and I'm going to repeat that. A witness has a forgiving spirit. I always say this because I really don't know. Here I am in the studio with my technician, and I can see him, but I can't see you. I don't know what you're struggling with. I don't know who you're not forgiving. But I'm going to tell you, forgiveness is a gift that you give to yourself. That's the hardest part of being a witness. It's called to forgive. Look at Stephen in verse 60. Then he knelt down and he cried out in a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." When he had said this, he died. Wow, it sounds a little bit like Jesus dying on the cross when he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." It's amazing when we read this passage, the men who have forced Stephen out of the city, they have lied about him, they have not listened to him, they have not heard the truth, and they have not believed in him. Instead, they pick up stones and begin to hurl them at Stephen. And as Stephen faces his accusers and eventual killers, he looks up to heaven and he asks the Lord to forgive him. During the Korean War, a South Korean Christian civilian was arrested by the communists and ordered shot. But when the young communist leader learned that the prisoner was in charge of an orphanage caring for small children, he decided to spare him and kill his son instead. So they took his 19-year-old son and shot him right there in front of the Christian man. Later, the fortunes of war changed, and that same young communist leader, the one who murdered the civilian's son, was captured by UN forces, tried, and condemned to death. Before the sentence could be carried out, the Christian whose son had been killed came and pleaded for the life of the killer. He declared that the boy was young and he really did not know what he was doing. The Christian said, "Give him to me, and I will train him." The UN forces granted that request, and the father took the murderer of his own son into his own home and cared for him. And today, that young man, formerly a communist, is a Christian pastor serving Christ. This, my friends, is the power of forgiving love that can only be described as, well, super abundant, overflowing, unexplainable, yet God is in the business of forgiveness. I heard a message today as I was driving in from a pastor who filled in for me while I was gone, and he said, "Look behind us and see all the grave markers of all the things that God has buried and forgiven us for." What a wonderful illustration. Each one of us has been forgiven for a multitude of sins. The truth is, it says in Psalm 14 and Romans 3 that we all have sinned and we all fall short of the glory of God. And yet when we come to God, God forgives us. And yet we're called to forgive others. What a wonderful illustration here of this Korean man who forgave the man who killed his own son and nurtured him. And now that man is a pastor serving Christ. This is the power of a forgiving love that can only be described well as life-changing, the kind of love dying Stephen reflected in the book of Acts. For you see, there was a young man in the crowd that day by the name of Saul, when we read this book in Acts chapter 7, who they laid their coats by. But later, we're going to talk about him. God changes his name to Paul. Paul's life was changed by the forgiveness of Stephen. And many of you, if you're Christians and you're listening to this program, and I'm assuming that probably you're a Christian because you're listening to this program, you know about Paul and how Paul wrote most of the New Testament. And yet, do you know that Stephen's witness helped transform Paul's life? The marks of a witness, well, they're a servant heart. The mark of a witness is speaking boldly. The mark of a witness is looking to heaven. And the mark of a witness is forgiveness. Well, so what? So what do all these this New Testament passage really mean to us today? The so what for us today is really simple. People are watching our witness. People are watching you. People are watching me. They watch how we handle maybe opening the door for a person, or being kind to a waiter or a waitress, or being kind to someone who's not kind to you. I had a teacher the other day, because school is back in, and she said the teacher mispronounced the student's name, and the student started getting upset. And another teacher stepped in and offered kindness to lower the temperature in the room. People are watching our witness. People are watching how you drive. People are watching how you talk. People are watching how you act. Our first story was a story of a young boy named Mark who watched Bob. Bob was the main speaker, and I'm sure he said many wonderful things, but what Mark saw was Bob's witness. Bob was kind to the least of these, a cook, and Mark was watching. Next, Stephen saw the glory of God in his life, became a witness of how to live a life of forgiveness. Saul, who becomes Paul, was watching this young martyr, giving his approval of Stephen's stoning. Saul witnessed Stephen's last forgiving act. Finally, if we look at the story of the communist murderer, saw the exceptional witness to the resurrection in this man who had killed his father's son. The father, a witness to the resurrection, so impressed him that he changed his life and proclaimed the gospel. My so what really is simple. And I always want to end with a so what, because I can give you these passages and you can hear me talk or tell stories on the radio. But my so what for us today is, what are we going to do with it? Well, here it is. Be alert. We have witness watchers watching us. Be alert. We have witness watchers watching us. Today, as we work on becoming a witness, these are the four marks. Do I own a servant's heart? That's my question to you. Do you own a servant's heart? Do I own a servant's heart? Do I speak boldly for Christ? Do you speak boldly for Christ? Am I intently gazing upon heaven? I challenge you to pause, go out at some time during the day or this week, and just look up, look around, and see the beauty that God has for you and the love that He has. And I'm going to challenge you, how's your forgiveness factor? How's your forgiveness factor? It says in Acts 7:55, but filled with the Holy Spirit, he gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. My prayer for you today is that you're going to gaze into heaven and see the glory of God. You can see the glory of God in God's word. You can see the glory of God in other people. You can see the glory of God in nature. My prayer is that you're going to see the glory of God, that you'll own a servant's heart, that you'll speak boldly, that you'll gaze up into the heavens, and that you will have that one thing, the forgiveness factor. Let us pray. Lord God, we give thanks for this wonderful day. Help us to have a servant's heart today. Help us to learn to speak boldly for you. Help us to gaze intently into your glory. And Lord, help us to forgive. Help us to forgive those who have hurt us, abandoned us, neglected us, and help us to forgive ourselves. And let us be forgiving people, people of grace. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to know that God loves you. He loves you so much that he gave his one and only son to die for you and to live for you, and he offers you that life eternally. Don't miss it. God loves you unconditionally. And I love you too. God bless.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com. Or you can send a message through the church website, theseedchristianfellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave, because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.